Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit any of the theme parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks or anywhere in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, American Tourist Travel. Let us book all your travel needs, especially Disney. You can find us at americantouristtravelagency.com. Now come on, guys, let's hop on the train and head over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm starting to say I'm joined as always by my good buddy John. How you doing,
hey,
Johnny?
Hey, I'm here. What's happening?
It's just you, John. Bob was supposed to be with us up until a couple hours ago, and he called and bailed. He had some things to do with the family, so it's just me and you again, kid.
Hey, you know what? We're just hanging out in the bar having a good time, so yeah, whatever. Hey, we spent Valentine's Day with our wives, you know? I mean, we're allowed to go to the bar tonight, so.
Yes, we got, you know, because I called you up and I said, John, we're supposed to record tonight. I think we should not do this. You know, it wasn't thinking because we always record on Tuesdays. I said, I sent you that text and you said, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think that's too bad. That wasn't one of your worst ideas there, so yeah, it was. That was pretty good. So.
Yeah, I was at work and I'm like, well, I don't think we should record tonight. I think the pluses outweigh the minuses for not recording tonight. So
I was debating on it because I know on Sunday you had said that you made Valentine's dinner and everything for your wife on Saturday, but nonetheless, it's still Valentine's Day on Tuesday night. So I think it was a good call. A good rain out on your behalf on that one, too.
Yeah, because what we did on Tuesday is we ordered out. We got takeout. And then I brought the roses home and the card and everything, the normal stuff for Valentine's Day. But, and I, like you said, I did cook the big meal on Saturday, which I have to admit, we had the leftover Sunday. And I'm good. I sent you pictures of those chicken wings. Didn't they look good?
Yeah, they did. And as a matter of fact, I think we picked up some. My wife picked up some wings today, so I think me and my son are probably going to be gorging on those either Saturday or Sunday this weekend. So
you're going to go out and get the stuff and do that recipe?
Yep. Yeah, the recipe you sent me or that I got a picture of it. It doesn't look like there's a whole lot of all stuff that I just can't find in my pantry downstairs anyway. So it looks like I have just about everything. So.
Exactly, and isn't everything like healthy on that? The one teaspoon of sugar is the most negative thing on the whole recipe.
Yeah, it didn't look bad at all. And like you said, they were baked, not fried. So, and I know the last time we made chicken wings, I will say that I like Hooters because of the wings. But growing up as a kid in freaking Florida, I love Hooters wings. And last time I made them, I did the wing sauce and the batter and fried them and everything. So I have to imagine this is probably a little healthier than that version.
It's 1,000 times healthier. Let me put it this way: my wife, and I don't know if I said it on the last show, she loved it so much that she even took a spoonful of the sauce. And she took a sip of it. She's like, man, that is so good. So, yeah, make sure you boil the sauce. What you do is you bake the wings and all. You don't even have to turn them. Like, I didn't have to flip mine at all. And then you put them – what I did is it tells you by the instructions to heat the sauce up in a big frying pan. But what I did is I did it in a saucepan, like a regular pot. You know what I'm – regular sauce pot?
Yeah.
And did it in there. And then what we did is – I took the wings out of the tray, off the cookie sheet, and I put them in. I don't know if you guys have one of those big stainless steel mixing bowls.
Yeah,
That's what I did, is I dropped the wings in there, and then I poured the sauce over top of it in the mixing ball and then tossed them.
Yeah.
I thought that was a lot easier than – what do you, for the ingredients that you see for that sauce, it's easier to heat it up in a pot or a saucepan than it is to do it in a big frying pan, because – like with that mixing bowl, it's a lot easier to toss the wings together than trying to toss them inside of a hot pan. I didn't get those the way they gave me that.
That makes a lot more sense. I mean, that generally I have a big stainless steel bowl down that I use anyway when I do make regular wings or whatever. That's always my mixing bowl for those. So yeah, I can't imagine why you would want to try to dip them into a hot frying pan. So
yeah, that's what they said.
We'll go your technique. So
yeah, they said drop them into the hot sauce. But what I did is I took them out. I let them sit on the counter for a minute, because you know, chicken, you want to leave it rest for a second too.
Yeah.
And then I took them off with, I could touch them, put them in there, because the sauce that you're heating up, when you pour that over them, it reheats the wings again.
Right.
You know, it makes them hot again. And I'm telling you, John, as soon as you're done making them, you're going to want to text me and tell me how great I am for telling you about this recipe.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I know that was always that and the bread pudding are my two favorite items on the Ohana menu. So I'm looking forward to them.
I'm telling you right now, this sauce, I was even telling my wife that I wouldn't mind putting that glaze on maybe some pork chops. I think that would be really good too.
Or if it's that good, even, you know, maybe a whole piece of chicken breast that you grilled outside or something like that.
That's without a doubt. The other thing I like too is we'll do thighs every once in a while. We'll bake the thighs in the oven. And the good thing about a thigh, do you ever bake thighs in the oven?
I use thighs for – I make arroz con pollo from the Food and Wine Festival a couple of years ago. I do that a lot, but that's about the only thing I do with thighs.
Yeah, because we'll do them on the grill too sometimes. The good thing about thighs are you can grill them or bake them, and because of the way they are, they end up feeling like they're fried, if you follow me, the flavor that you get out of them.
Yeah, and they stay juicy a lot longer than chicken breast does, so yeah.
And if you get good thighs, because that's what I'm thinking about doing this recipe on the thighs, because you get a little more meat on the thighs than you do on the wings, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you know, as long as you – like the ones we had this weekend, the good thing was they were pretty big. They were some big-sized chicken wings. I was very happy with them. But you ever get the ones – you ever go out and get chicken – because we have this place locally called the Golden Nugget. It's the local bar that they're like friends of the family. My parents used to hang out there. The band would play there on Fridays and Saturday nights, the country band. And that was where, like, we've known these the owners of the place since we were kids. And they're known around this area to have the best chicken wings in South Jersey. I mean, they're phenomenal. But sometimes they'll get a batch in. The flavor's awesome, but they'll be small. And did you ever get it like a couple dozen chicken wings where they're so small that it's kind of like eating regular crab. Sometimes it's not worth the effort.
you get about a bite and a half off of each wing. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So.
Yeah, because I'm also a little girl when I eat. I admit it. I'm like, I get teased at work. I'm the guy with 57 napkins. I like to clean. I'll eat pizza with a fork and knife sometime. I don't like to be dirty, dude, when it comes to eating food. Like, I don't like Sloppy Joe's just because the name. You know, so I have to be honest. Me and my buddies used to – all of my friends used to pick on me and my best friend Bill because we didn't like – we're not normal construction guys where we don't like all the different gases coming out while we're eating. You know how you get with a group of guys and they're burping and dude, nothing aggravating. And the sucking of the fingers and all that stuff. I admit it, I'm like a prima donna when it comes to all that stuff. So sometimes digging in the wings and all that stuff, getting all dirty for two pieces of meat, like you said, sometimes it's just not worth it. But these wings were worth it. So I just gave everybody more ammunition to pick on me for.
I think that's half of the enjoyment of our show is picking on Doug. So.
Absolutely, but at least I'm honest, right? I don't pull punches. I pick on myself like I pick on you guys.
You know, there you go. So, and give us plenty of ammo to go for it. So.
Absolutely. But if you guys, I want to apologize tonight because we're recording during dinner time and my wife is cooking my dog his dinner. Because we'll boil him chicken, poach him chicken. We'll make that to put in with his dog food. And he's out there going nuts. So if you guys hear him, he is crazy, and my wife is okay. Oh, dude, do you have a dog, John?
I got two of them, yeah.
Do you ever boil them chicken, poach them chicken?
No, I don't think I ever have.
It's really good for him because it's all natural. So we'll poach him chicken, and we give it to him during the week with his dry dog food. Each night he gets a piece. And he ran out the other night, so he's kind of like not in a good mood. He wants his chicken. So
I can imagine he likes probably that poached chicken a whole lot more than he likes his dry dog food.
Absolutely, but we mix it with the dry so he gets his teeth clean.
He has to eat the vitamin stuff too. So.
Absolutely, and then he gets a Denny bone before he goes to bed every single night. And then if I go to give him something else, my wife will flip out at me. He already brushed his teeth. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry.
Is somebody going to complain about his bad breath in bed or something?
No, she just don't want him. The number one thing that you know this, the number one thing that usually hurts a dog is when their teeth start to go bad. That leads to other problems.
Yeah.
You know, you keep their teeth healthy, they usually stay healthy for the most part. It's a broad scope, but you know what I'm saying. Usually dogs and cats, when they start to get their teeth go bad, then they're done. There is now. My wife actually, because, you know, she's in the dental field, they make canine teeth now for dogs. They do implants on dogs.
Oosh.
Yeah, you got to have real coin for that, though.
I imagine.
So there's a lot of Disney news out, but we're not going to cover it this Sunday, but I'm telling you, the Caribbean Beach and the Coronado Springs news is really, really interesting, isn't it?
It sure is, and gee, wouldn't you like to take a sky ride? But hey, I guess we'll talk about that Sunday. So.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of discussion on Sunday. We're going to have Bob along, too, so he'll put his 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 cents in. But I'm looking forward to it. But tonight what we're going to do is we're going to do a quick show. We're not going to go too long unless we keep talking about chicken wings and dog food. But what we're going to do is a little game of first thing you think of. We haven't played this in a while. It's been months since me and Den did it. And so I figured me and John will have some fun at it. So you got some words put down you and your wife came up with to sabotage me?
No sabotage, just pop whatever pops in your head. So you want me to go first or you want to go first?
I'll give you one first.
Alrighty.
Because that's how it works. I'm in charge here.
Yep.
So what's the first thing you think of when I say the word music?
Music. Rock and roller coaster.
Oh, there you go. And well, that I didn't expect that, but that is a good one. I love that ride as far as I like the music better than the ride myself.
it's actually still one of my favorite rides. I mean, there's an interesting story I'll tell you sometime off the air about the first time I ever rode it. just the fact that you're listening to probably one of the best rock bands of all time blaring in your ears as you're going on a roller coaster, and the only roller coaster that goes upside down at Disney. So it's an exciting time. And that would pop in my head when you said music. So.
Yeah. Well, mine is first thing comes to my head. Hello, McFly. Is Yeehaw Bob. You know, just listening to him, his craziness, his going nuts on that piano. You know, it's either that or the music when you're walking down Main Street. Just, you know what I'm saying, the ambient music around the
bars. The background, yeah.
But first thing came to my mind was Yeehaw Bob. Yours is Rock and Roller Coaster. I do like the songs on that. I like the launch. The rest of the ride, I'm not too fond of.
Yeah, see, the only thing that bugs me anymore is everybody, I think all of us on the show, we get into our mid-40s, late-40s, early-50s. I think we're all starting to find that there are certain rides that just can't really take so much anymore. The launch is the only thing that bothers me, I think, at Disney World right now. That and the the same launch at the Hulk at Universal. Both of those, it's I can do it, but it's not my favorite part of an attraction anymore. So.
No, see, mine, I can do the launch. Mine is the upside down because of my neck with the walking on stilts. I got neck. I don't have it's like I'm very protective of it because I get spasms in my neck all the time. Imagine walking on stilts for 8 hours and you're looking up.
Oh, yeah. God, I could imagine.
You know, it's kind of the same thing probably with you driving truck. You got lower back issues and, you know, whatever else from sitting. You know what I'm saying? In the truck, it probably gets you.
No, mine is my shoulders from pushing the hand cart in and out of restaurants. Mm. You know, I load up my hand cart with a couple hundred pounds of flour and tomatoes, and then I'm lifting it upstairs and pushing it up ramps and all that stuff. So, yeah, my shoulders are about gone. So.
Yeah, so Brenda tries to protect me like that. See, and that's the problem with me with the studios, like, because I listened to Mickey Dudes the other day and our buddy Dave. Dave, do you ever see I know you have. You've watched Seinfeld, right?
Yes, yes.
Every time I think of Dave, I think of Newman. And you know how Jerry goes...
That's complimentary.
Exactly. You know, he's a buddy. He's a friend. I like Dave a little bit more, but you know, Dave's a friend. But you know what I'm saying? It's like he's that nudge in the building. And every time I think of Seinfeld and I see Newman, I think of Dave. So Dave is my Newman.
Next time you see him, I want you to look at him and go, Dave.
We'll do that for now on the show, Dave. But, you know, I mean, my wife, so he was saying the Animal King, I get sidetracked thinking of Newman, but like on his last show, they were talking about the half-day Animal Kingdom and they're excited about everything new coming there, which we all are. With the, you know, with the new Pandora and everything, and they were talking about extinct attractions, and then you just told me they had another show that I got to listen to that they were talking about us again, which I'm honored that they like to talk about us, and I know it's always bad, but it's okay. I'm kidding, but anyway, did you see that my wife? We were talking about that. My wife, we were talking about half day parks. My wife keeps me out of that end of Hollywood Studios. She owned me on Tower of Terror because of my back, and I don't want to go on Rock and Roller Coaster because of my neck. So that's the other reason why that park becomes a half day park. The Star Tours gets me motion sick sometimes. Like, that's hit or miss. I've done it enough or I've seen everything. You know what I'm saying? It's not a must do for me. So if you take away Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower Terror, and Star Tours, I go on Toy Story Midway Mania, grab a couple sliders at Brown Derby, and I'm at the door.
I was gonna say you do that great movie ride and One Man's Dream, and you're hauling butt, right?
So. Yeah, I did One Man's Dream the last trip. Know what my favorite part about? I love looking at all the stuff. I mean, we did spend a long time, because that's the other cool thing about my godson and my godson and my brother-in-law. They're in the history. They love watching the History Channel. They're into all that stuff. I actually had to drag them out of One Man's Dream, which is a really cool thing. It's nice, you know, having a 21-year-old kid, or 20 at the time, he just turned 21, want to stay there because he's into all that. And then we all sit down, because I don't always watch the movie at the end, and I don't think you do either. Most people walk through there. But it had Dr. Strangelove. And that's where I seen the preview. And I couldn't wait to see it, and I'm still waiting to see it.
Let me correct you. Just it's Doctor Strange, not Strange Love.
Oh well,
it's interesting. Anyway, I mean, yes. Strange Love might be the name of something else.
But exactly. Pick on me again, John. But you know, I mean, have you seen that yet?
Actually, no. I'm way behind in the Marvel movies. I got to watch that one, and I just caught up on Civil War on Sunday. I watched that after the show we did on Sunday, so I'm rather proud of myself for finally catching that up. So.
How awesome was that? I think that was my favorite one.
I think you're right. The battle scene, I mean, I think we can talk about it now. It's way after the movie came out. But the battle scene between the five or six of them against each other right there at the airport was probably the best thing I think I've ever seen, with Ant-Man and Spider-Man. And that Spider-Man is so great. That is the Spider-Man that I always envisioned Spider-Man being.
Didn't I tell you that?
Yeah, I hope that's what they're going to do with the movie. I mean, Spider-Man is not Batman. He's not all black and dark and, you know, and broody and always.
He's supposed to be a high school kid.
The world. Yeah.
You know, he's supposed to be, you know, adventurous, you know, high school, college kid coming of age. Having some
and
fun.
And he's frivolous and just, you know, kind of flippant and just kind of off the cuff. And that's how it was. And, oh, yeah, I was so impressed with the way they did Spider-Man. So, it was fantastic.
And Paul Rudd is Ant-Man. I like Paul Rudd. So
yeah, it was great.
So. I mean, the movie Ant-Man I love because it's something different. We talk about that all the time. It's different. So, you know what I mean? I was totally happy with that. The only thing negative about it was when Don Cheadle got hurt. You know, him getting messed up.
Yeah, when he got smashed in the ground. So
yeah, that's the only thing I didn't like about it, because I wanted them all beat up, but nobody hurt.
That's what I thought it was going to be for a while, but I guess they had to. They at least nobody died, but they wanted to throw just a dose of reality in there, I guess.
But it was the best of all of them. I mean, I still like the original Iron Man because of the original Iron Man, but. This was my favorite of all this in one is my two favorite. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah, there's like 14 friggin' Marvel movies out there now, so it's hard to rank them. So.
And I do like – I love them all. They've all been phenomenal. Like, I even like Thor.
Yeah, I like Thor a lot. I mean,
I liked him more than I thought I was going to. Even though he pissed
– character, so.
The only thing I don't like about Thor, it's like – it just he makes me feel like I'm not even in the same species as him.
Well, you're not. He's an alien from another planet. So look at it that way.
Okay, there you go. But you know what I'm saying? You look at him and like I go look in the mirror at myself. I'm thinking I'm doing good. I'm 40 years old. I mean, going on 50 years old. Still got a 30-inch waist. And then I look at Thor and I'm like, damn, you lost.
You did. Have you? Well, just a real quick sidetrack. Have you seen the new Vacation movie, the one that came out last year?
No, I haven't. Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yes, I did see that with Sudeikis and Christina Applegate. Yeah, we did see it.
Chris Hemsworth in that movie?
Yeah. It's sad. And the best part of that movie is when he's spinning in the chair inside the car. It was a pretty good movie. It was okay.
The part with Hemsworth in there was friggin' hilarious. So I mean, that's when he comes in the bedroom and starts talking to him, it's how he makes you feel. So
yes, it's so yeah. Thor makes me feel a little bad, but I love the movie. But anyway, we digress quite a bit there, didn't we? Give me your first one, my friend.
All right, we're gonna go with Congested. What do you think of when I say the word congested?
Congested. You got me a little. Let me see. No, you know what I think of? Food and Wine. The last time we were there, on Saturday night, around World Showcase, it was way too congested. That was ridiculous. That's and really, you know what the first thing I thought of was the original hub.
Yeah.
That was the first thing.
Yeah.
The original hub, like, I miss my docks where my ponds were and, you know, the whole waterworks under there, you know. I do miss all that, but I do have to admit they did the right thing by changing the hub. And that's what I think about Congested, whenever you were in the center of the Magic Kingdom before they changed the hub. What
exactly,
were you thinking?
Go ahead.
What were you thinking?
What I came up with, and I don't know why, I think it's just the time of day that I always hit this spot. It's when you come off of the bridge in Africa as you're heading towards Kilimanjaro Safari. And for some reason, every time I do that, the band is playing right there and in the middle of the path. And so everybody stops to watch the live music. And it is the most difficult area in the world to transverse. And it seems to be like from about 10:30 until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. After that, it starts to free up. But for some reason, I am always there at that time of day. And I don't know why, but it seems to always end up being one of the most congested parts of not only Animal Kingdom, but all the parks that I run into. So.
Yeah, and you're right. When they redid Harambe Market and that whole area there, like all around Kilimanjaro Safari, do you not understand why they didn't make like maybe an area for that band to play at? It set a standard.
Not at all,
right,
because
right in the middle of the road there. I mean, right in the middle of the pathway there. And I enjoy it. Like, that was one of my sister-in-law's favorite thing when we took her down a couple years ago. When they were singing and dancing there, her and Brenda were having a good time watching the band. They didn't want to leave. And they're phenomenal. I just don't understand why they didn't find a better spot, like, when they redid everything there to put them.
No, they're always really popular, but they always end up with, you know, people wanting to dance and stuff like that, and so it like the show spills out and gets bigger and bigger, and and it's been there, as far as I can remember, it's been there as long as I've been going to Animal Kingdom since 98, so I can't imagine why they didn't say, you know what, this is popular, we're going to keep them, let's make them a little stage area right over here to the left or something. So
no, I wish they would, because, I mean, I wish they'd play more, actually, but I get annoyed by the crowd there. I get claustrophobic. Yep. There's certain times at the park there where it really gets bad there. And they're phenomenal. They're a lot of fun to listen to.
Yeah, and it's one of those spots where people aren't just crowded up on you. It's like you said, it gets a bit claustrophobic. They get really right up in you and you're trying to get past, and yeah, it gets a little annoying.
No, so. Absolutely. What do you think of when I say chocolate?
Ghirardelli at Disney Springs and my free chocolate samples that I get every time I go out there.
What's your favorite one?
My favorite is the peppermint bark, and my wife's favorite is the caramel with the milk chocolate. So if it's one of those two, we're good to go. Otherwise, we just only go through once. But if it's caramel and milk chocolate, we usually end up making at least two trips through. So
the thing I think of is actually, which is it's a cop-out kind of, is the Mickey bar. I like the sandwich more. What do you like better, the hard crusted or do you like the ice cream sandwich?
All right. Well, you know, they did it on the Mickey Dudes a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, they
John's
did?
Disney. No, I no. John's Disney confession right here. Okay. I've never had a Mickey bar in the Walt Disney World parks. So. I remember getting them off the ice cream truck when I was a little kid, but I've never had an ice cream bar. I've never had a Mickey bar at Walt Disney World. So.
Shame on you, John.
I've done about every attraction. I've eaten at probably 50% of the restaurants, but no, I've never eaten a Mickey bar. So.
Yeah, well, shame on you. I've had the ice cream sandwich and the Mickey bar. I like the ice cream sandwich more.
Okay, you prefer the sandwich. All right.
Yes, I'm a sandwich kind of guy. What's next for you?
All right, here you go. Gee, that smells terrific.
Gee, that smells terrific. Terrific. The crazy part, you want to know, and this is called the first thing you think of, right? And it really doesn't smell terrific, but the first thing I thought of was the water in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
It smells. I don't know if terrific. I guess just because you know what it means when you do smell it, you know. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, for some reason, that came to my mind. I mean, I don't know why, but you know that exact smell, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that slightly mildewy, stale water needs to be circulated smell, yes.
Yes, but, but smells terrific. Really, I mean, the other thing that usually gets me is in the morning when I head over to get the girls when I'm at Riverside, when I head over to get the girls breakfast, or me and my wife, or when mom's with us, depending on what trip. When you first go into the food court, like when you go in there bright and early, you smell the coffee going, you smell all the, you know, they're cooking everything. At the food court inside of Riverside, I that really gets me in the morning. And it gets me to the point where I don't know what I want to get, even though I know I'm going to get the bounty platter for us. It's still – every time I order, I have to walk around the entire food court, look at everything like an idiot. Like, I'm going to get something else, and then I walk back and get the bounty platter. And then because four more people's in line because I didn't go there right away.
Well, that's part of the enjoyment, is walking around and looking, making sure they didn't, you know, bring out some other new menu item since you had been back. So, you know, you got to check it out.
And what did you think of when you usually think of that?
When we first get our DVC points, the first place we stayed was Saratoga Springs, and and that was okay. But then we booked an actual vacation, and our first actual vacation with our DVC points was at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And we had never stayed at a resort that was anywhere near that nice and had a lobby so impressive. And we had never even been over to Animal Kingdom Lodge before we booked this stay. And the doors opened up, and that smell from Boma and Jiko washed over you. And not only the smell, and then you saw the expanse of the lobby. I swear, I think me and my wife and my son all stood there for about 5 seconds with our mouths open like goobers. So, yeah, but that smell inside the lobby of the Animal Kingdom Lodge is, woof, that's pretty killer.
I will tell you this. We love Riverside so much, and everybody knows this because of this show. I mean, whoever listens to this show knows Riverside is my home away from home, me and my wife. But the Animal Kingdom, if it would have been the first place we stayed, that probably would have been our favorite place. You know what I'm saying? That's how much we loved it. The couple times we stayed there, we absolutely it's incredible. And like our friends that you know, the happiest vlog on earth, Jen and Scott, they're down there right now, and it's the first time they're staying there, and they just ate at Jiko. And they're going on and on about how phenomenal it is. And they're saying that they're going to talk Dennis into eating there. Because I said, I got to get Dennis over there. Have you eaten at Jiko yet?
No, we've tried all three of the other places. And every one of them's been, I mean, Sanaa we weren't so satisfied with. But the bread service was there. It was great and stuff like that. But both Boma and even the Mara counter service has been fantastic. So if we do another signature dining, I think Jiko will be the place that we head over to. So,
well, you know how much I've raved about Jiko. It's phenomenal, and it's like what's awesome about it. It's so different from any other place you're gonna eat. You know what I mean? It's an event. It's an event, is what it is. It's like how can I put it? It's like one and only. If you understand what I'm saying, you're not gonna get anything else like it, in my opinion. And what I was very impressed with, and we'll talk about this with Bob on Sunday too. Jen and them had it, and they think it's their favorite restaurant now. And now, if you listen to their vlog, or not listen or watch their vlog and all, everybody knows how much they love the Poly and the Grand Floridian and their Cosies and Ohan. I mean, they love that area, the resort loop. I mean, the monorail loop. They're in love with Animal Kingdom right now and Jiko, and that really impressed me that they think it's their favorite restaurant now. So I like that.
Good deal. Yeah, good deal. Because, yeah, like I listened to that show, and they were all about the Grand Floridian. So it seems like they really have a good time everywhere they go. So,
well, if you watch the show, Jen likes the Poly, and Scott loves the Grand Floridian. So, and she usually wins. They stay at the Poly.
Yeah, story of our lives, Doug. Story of our lives.
Yeah, but that, how do you consider – that ain't even losing.
Yeah,
it's winning and winning. So, over, when I say overrated,
wow, there's a whole lot I could do here. I would say before the redo. Now, this isn't the new one because I do really enjoy the new one and I do love seeing the world. But I would have said Soaring Over California was seriously overrated.
Oh, the new version.
No, the new version I love. But the old version.
The original version.
Yeah, the original version. And I wouldn't say it was overrated when it came out. I would just say it was overrated because I can't see anything being worth a 3.5 or 4 hour line even on queue on Christmas or New Year's, and that's what it standardly was. And people that didn't have Fast Pass would end up waiting 2 hours on a regular day to do it. And I mean, I like it. I like it more now. I definitely like it a lot more now. But I still couldn't see that type of line for people for doing it. So.
Oh, well, I'm shocked to hear that. I don't even know if I can talk to you anymore.
I know.
I'm just kidding. Now, I can't wait for Brenda to see the new version. She loved the old, and that was one of Brenda's favorite rides. She had to go on it every single time. So, I mean, I like both of them the same. I do. The thing I'm happy about that they kept the music with the new one.
I do love the music. I loved everything about the Thorn, and then I guess maybe it's just because I had seen the deterioration of the film and stuff over the years, and how disappointing it was getting to be with the marks through the middle of the scenes and stuff like that. So,
And what do you think I want to say is overrated?
Oh boy, I'll probably go with a restaurant. I'm probably gonna say, yeah, I should. I guess I should have went Boathouse, huh? But
there you go.
Let me say, I'm gonna guess you're gonna. I don't know. You still like LaSalle? Oh man, you're putting me in too much pressure here.
It is a restaurant, though. It is a restaurant.
All right.
And it's named after a podcast is named after it.
Oh, well, gee, we just finished the whole show about all that. So I'm going to go with Be Our Guest there, Doug.
There you go. I think that's the most overrated place on property, myself. I just don't get it. I mean, I get it. I mean, let me put it this way. I get it. It's good. I'm not saying you shouldn't go there, but it is overrated to me. I'm not, you know, I don't see me heading over there anytime soon.
It's funny that you come up with that after me and you just waxed poetically for about 15 minutes on Sunday show about how much we love Beauty and the Beast movies.
Hey, I love the movie, and that's why I was – like I said, the whole place is just – you know, I've said it 1,000 times on this show. Just want me to pick something out 10 months in advance, and I can't peek in the place. It's like it's – it, I don't know. It's just too stuffy for me. But I know a lot of people don't like me for saying that, so we will move on.
Hey, you know what? I said Soren, so I'll probably get some hate mail, so that's okay.
We're both in trouble.
No kidding.
What's your next one, my friend?
All right. Ooh, I wish I hadn't done that.
Ooh, I wish I hadn't done that. Well, I hate to do this, but I have to say that Le Fin de Mont off the beer cart. Even though I've had 4 since then, I do have to say I wish I wouldn't have had that. And you want to know why? And I told the story. Everybody knows. It was just how awesome my meal was that night, how great the 2 harps were. And to get that skunked, whatever I got out of that keg, I wish I hadn't have done that.
So now that you've tried the 4-pack and stuff like that, so are you going to give it another chance when you head back out to Epcot?
I probably will, yeah. I mean, I have to try it. Maybe there's something to do. Maybe the draft has a little different recipe than what the bottle does. Because I know that on certain things.
You know what? Maybe I'll run into you that day and I'll get you to take a sip or two out of mine before you go spend the money on one. Because that's not if you're not going to like it, you don't need to spend the money on it. You know what I'm saying?
So. You know what? I'll probably continue to buy 4-packs here to have it here and there. But when I really do enjoy, I love the Le Fin de Mont. I know you two guys like it. But for me, roaming around, I actually enjoy the Moosehead. Just, you know what I mean? I know I'm going to like that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, that and it's a lighter beer. It doesn't have the higher alcoholic content. You're not going to get as drunk as quick. So, yeah, and it's not going to be as heavy on your stomach as you're roaming around. So.
Yeah, so it's probably more me. But, like I said, I will continue to have them here. What's yours?
All right. Ooh, I wish I hadn't done that. So, one of the times when my son was still probably, I think he was around 11 or 12, for a while, his favorite attraction out at the Magic Kingdom was the Mad Tea Party. And going back from way when I was a kid, going out there with my buddy, when we were 14, 15, 16, we'd get on the Mad Tea Party and just spin that dang thing as fast as we could get it going. And I had a really good rhythm for a long time. I could really get that thing going. And so I did it with my son probably all the way back from when he was 3 or 4 up through about when he was 12, like I said. And unfortunately, the last time that I rode it, the night before, maybe I had stayed out a little too late at one of the bars and then got back to one of the room and maybe had one or two a little too late. So we rode this at probably 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning, right after we got in. And it kind of ruined me for about 3 or 4 hours of the day. I got it going really quick and I couldn't think straight there for a while. So yeah, I really wish I hadn't done that. So.
I would have probably ruined me for 3 or 4 days, not hours.
It's funny. That's the last time I rode it too. So yeah, I haven't been back in the Mad Tea Party in probably 5 or 6 years now. So.
Okay. Well, I can't. I will do it. I will never get on the Mad. Never again. I'll never go on that. I'll never make it off. The only way I could ever do that is if you promise not to move it. You know, don't spin it. Like, grab the wheel and spin like, you know, crazy, man. If it just pivots around, I'm good. Just don't make it spin.
And I don't know why. Golden. I used to love that, but I used to really get a kick out of doing that. I don't do it so much anymore.
Yeah, now you got scrambled eggs in your head.
Yeah.
Okay, now I went overrated. What's underrated?
People mover.
Ah, that's a very, very good one. Absolutely.
I would say the Wedway People Mover, just because it's not only a interesting ride, it gives you a nice overview of Tomorrowland, but it's a historically significant ride. I mean, it dates all the way back to Disneyland and stuff like that, and the way they set it up and what Walt actually thought this was going to end up doing it around places. And I guess in a way, there are certain types of people movers around the country. I really wish we had something like this as a common transportation system. So, but.
Well, that's a very good one, because most people, you tell them to go on it, they look at you like, really? What's a people mover? When I'm booking trips for them, Tomorrowland, make sure you go on the people mover. What people mover? You know, and mine would be, it's in the same area, actually, would be Carousel of Progress. I mean,
I was gonna say that one, but then I was thinking, I bet you he's got that, so I'm gonna go with this one. So.
Yeah, and if anybody's asleep, don't feel free to shake them. Feel free to shake them and wake them, is what I say. Because you're not going to sleep on that ride with me in there. But I think if you're any kind of Disney fan, maybe if you're the guy that just shows up and you're going down once every 5 years and you're really not into history. But if you do like we do with the podcast and the radio show, like Pat Jannetty, who hasn't done hardly anything, you should start to do this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like the American Adventure or Hall of Presidents, Pat. I mean, the thing is, that's where I want to get on, Pat. The original thing that Walt created was Lincoln at the World's Fair, which started most of all this. Am I wrong?
That was the first animatronic, so.
Exactly. And Cuz hasn't gone and seen the Hall of Presidents yet, which started all that. I just don't get it. So, Newman, get on Pat even more. Give me your next one.
All right. We'll do a couple more. The word, all right. Blue.
Blue, I think of Epcot. The ball, you know how the brochure comes out? Most of the books have the Spaceship Earth. It's blue. And that's what makes me – that's what comes to my mind, Spaceship Earth, the front of Epcot. Yeah, I mean, because that has like – I mean, when you get all your brochures and stuff like that, a lot of the times the brochures are blue with Epcot. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, the little blue coating at the top of it, yeah.
Exactly.
The color slide across the top. So.
What about you?
For some reason, I don't know why, but the H2O products in the shower at Disney Resort. You know, the soap, the blue soap.
So. Yeah, I know what you're saying. And like, cause the whole resort comes to me. Like, even the coasters, like the Walt Disney World coasters, they're in blue. Like, the whole logo right now is like that light blue, and the Disney logo is blue. So it just makes me think of the parks, the color blue.
Yep. Yeah, it's that I don't know, the older soap had that distinct smell to it, and that always kind of, you'd get there and take your first shower and smell that stuff, and you knew you were on vacation, so.
No, I hear you. Best burger.
My son eats the burgers most of the time, so, I'm gonna have to say, I'll go with Bob and say Laguna Bar, because I can't tell you the last time I had a cheeseburger or a burger on Disney property.
See, mine was, I'm just bringing up that it makes me sad that Pecos Bill's don't have a hamburger
anymore.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Best burger on property to me. Just the whole atmosphere, the Fixin's Bar, the whole nine yards, I miss it.
Yeah, you know, what I should have said was Yak and Yeti, because my son had the the Kobe burger there several years ago, and he actually enjoyed the heck out of that. Actually, he said that was he really has a fondness for Disney burgers. I don't know why. He doesn't – he's not a big fan of burgers other places, but – And he has said, you'll be proud of this, Doug. He said that Universal's burgers are a step below what Disney serves. So,
good kid. You'll have him back. Give him five more years. He'll be back going to Disney with you all the time.
He's working his way there already. So,
But you know what I'm saying. Once they get past the teenage years is when they, you know, they're all back again.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's already told me that he's going on. He's going to the Magic Kingdom with our vacation set.
That's so awesome. What's your next one?
All right, so I'm gonna go with hat.
Hat?
Hat.
The first thing I think of is a few years ago, me and my wife and my brother-in-law. I mean, not my brother-in-law. My sister-in-law's boyfriend. We were all in the world of Disney. And me and him were acting like idiots. We were changing hats out left and right. I mean, the natural one was the hat at the Hollywood Studios, the Sorcerer's hat that was removed. But I was actually wearing that one. And then we were both putting on all these other stupid hats. And we were actually got to the point where they didn't want to know us anymore. So that's what I think. We were in the world of Disney acting like idiots.
Good deal. I came up with the Mickey Mouse ears because I'm sitting here in the bedroom and I'm looking at – actually speaking to my son, I'm looking at his first set of ears that I got him when he – I think he was 9 months old when I got him in the ears. And I actually have a picture of him wearing those. He doesn't look real happy. But nonetheless, you know, I mean it's something you have to get for every little kid that gets out there. So
next one up for you is must do.
Ooh, must do. That's like a generalization out of all the parks. Ooh boy.
There you go. What's the first thing that hits your head?
Haunted Mansion.
There you go. Well, that's the idea of the game. It's not supposed to be thinking of them all. It's supposed to be whatever comes to you first. And that's absolutely perfect. That says Walt Disney World. And if you did a if you wanted to put out the rides, it was Walt Disney World. It would be Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, because that's what comes to my
Jungle
mind.
Cruise.
Even though I want to remove Johnny Depp from it, and I'll always say that, and everybody hates me for it, but I still hate that they added him to that. And now he's even becoming more of a knucklehead. I hate it even more.
Yeah, and I hate to tell you, but the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie that's coming out looks really good too. So, yeah.
Do you want to? I mean, and I've told the story how Pirates is. That's the reason why the ride I fell in love with Disney World for. Brenda, we went in, we got on It's a Small World, and I thought that was awesome. First time you ever see that, it's awesome. And then we went over to Pirates, and I'm like, this place is absolutely phenomenal. And then we went to the Haunted Mansion. I mean, that was the first three rides I did. We went from It's a Small World, over the Pirates, and then went into Haunted Mansion. And I was in love with the place.
I was going to say, you're pretty blown away in the first hour you were there, right? So.
Exactly. There were the three things we did, and then that's when we seen the original. Because I know Pat and them talked about it on their last show. This Skyway was still there the first year we went. And we wrote, you know, we seen that. And then you're right. It's Pirates, Haunted Mansion. They are the first things that should come to your mind.
Yep. So, yeah, I would say the Haunted Mansion, and I don't know, it's always, it's either my first or second favorite ride in all of Walt Disney World because I do like the creepiness a little bit. That they do it in such a jovial manner and such a happy I guess if you can be happy to be dead but still a somewhat creepy manner. I don't know, that it's such a perfect blend, you know what I mean? So, and it's an attraction that you can take a kid on and they're not terrified, you know what I mean? But it's still creepy. So
well, I love Haunted Mansion. The only thing I hated was the only time I didn't like it was the last trip. I went on it with my godson and my brother-in-law, and I missed my wife because that's her favorite ride. And I felt like I was being bad or something because I was riding it without her, if that makes sense to you.
Yep.
I just felt like I shouldn't be on it. And because there's been times where I've been on it, in the car by myself, but because we were there with other people and she rode with her mother, or you understand what I'm saying, but with a bunch of family that I was in a different car. But we've rode it. Listen to my English again. We've been on it. Yeah. We've been on it so many times together that I feel lost that she ain't on it with me. Like, I found myself looking for her in the car, in the dune buggy, and she wasn't there. And it was very sad riding it the last time.
Doug, it doesn't get any better even if you move here, because I guarantee you, you'll probably be like me. I do have the ability every once in a while, if I have to work in town on a Saturday or a Sunday or something like that, where I could stop at the parks on the way home and maybe ride a ride or two. And she wouldn't, Lisa wouldn't even get that upset with me. I mean, she'd just be like, well, bring me some popcorn home, because she loves the popcorn. But it's weird. You go out there and it's hard to have a good time by yourself if you're so used to being there with your significant other. So, God, we do sound like we're whipped.
We are whipped, but we're whipped in a good way. We're the rare few. You know, we're pretty lucky. So, call us whipped, call us what you like, but I am very, very happy.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as she puts up with me, I'm here. But give me another one.
All right, so I'm gonna. Well, what was your must do?
No, mine was Pirates.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, yeah. All right, I'm gonna say short timer. What do you think? Short timer.
Short timer. Wow, you got me stumped on that one. I mean, I wish Mission Space was short timer. Wish they would get rid of it, or Primeval World. I wish that would be a short timer. I mean, I'm trying to think of something that isn't worth the wait. Like, after you're waiting in line all that time, what isn't worth the wait for a ride? Is there anything that comes to your mind?
Oh yeah, I've got one. Not necessarily a long wait, but I know one that I have a feeling is a short timer. So,
okay,
and mine would be Stitch's Great Escape.
You think its days are numbered?
Yeah. I don't see it being around a whole lot longer. It's just not popular enough, and it's in some prime real estate right there. I remember all the way back to Mission to Mars and stuff like that. So, and I don't know if you ever did Alien Encounter, but I thought that ride was great, but it did not fit in the Magic Kingdom very well. If that would have been put into Hollywood Studios, I think it'd still be there.
It was scary.
It was scary as heck.
Yeah, Pat said it made him uneasy. Yeah,
it was creepy, man. It was real creepy. The first time me and my wife went on it, I have to honestly be honest with you, I was a little freaked out. But the best ride of, like, a lot of things at Disney, the best part was going on it after you knew what was going to happen and waiting for the other people's reactions. So just like Tough to Be a Bug and stuff like that, waiting for the everybody else to get poked in the back by the wasp. So that was the. That was the interesting thing about that ride. But with Stitch, I don't know that the story is so disjointed and it just doesn't match in very well. And nobody likes the shoulder restraints that come down on you. So.
No, they were like, I just felt like, whoa, what's going on here, man? Let me go. I didn't like the shoulder restraints either.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad that's gone. I didn't like that at all. I didn't like either one. I don't like Stitch or Alien Encounter. I'll be happy with whatever comes next. So, let me see. I want to give you one more, and that's it. We'll call it a show. How's that sound, John?
Alrighty then.
How about best value? Maybe best one value. Of your beers. What's your best value? I'm sure that would come to your head.
We talk about that off the air. It's probably not something I really want to put out there on the air. So I can give you some really good values on beer, though.
But in the parks?
Well, around the parks. Huh. Man, best value. It's Disney. I'm kind of stumped on that. Actually, well, all right, here. I'll give you one of me and my wife's favorite lunch spots, Tangerine Cafe in Morocco. The shawarma platter there I think the lamb and chicken combo is $12.49, and it can feed two people without a problem, especially on a hot summer afternoon. Half of the stuff on the plate is cold, so it's a kind of a nice, refreshing lunch. And like I said, it'll feed two people with no problem. So,
now, what do you think my best value is?
Park hopper.
No, well, that should be for all. Park hopper for all. Well, what I'm hoping you actually get on your next visit, the bangers and mash. You know they're my best value on property.
Yes, yes.
For the
yes.
money, for the $22 or whatever they are now, you can't beat that. And before we leave tonight, I mean, I got roused. Do you believe our buddy? First of all, I got yelled at because I was ranting too much on the last show. Then I was told I didn't rant enough for the tickets prices. I can't win, John.
Yeah, Doug, it's what you're known for, so what are you going to do, you know? So.
And we have the same thing going on around here. It's like with the football team. I mean, it's like I'm not going to stop watching them. We're not going to stop going to Disney or whatever, but it's like how come every year they got to just nudge you with this? Like our Eagles, they raise season ticket prices again. They didn't raise them 2 years in a row. Everybody thought, yay. So they go 7-9 this year. They feel, let's raise the ticket prices.
Hey, we're almost 500. Yep, yeah, got to go up.
So we're going to raise the ticket prices. It's like, I mean, I feel bad for everybody. I mean, I won't hold season tickets to the Eagles, but I feel bad for everybody with the Disney tickets. I mean, nobody's going to stop paying for them, but it's like, we're all of our own worst enemies that we're all going to keep going, so we're not going to stop it. But they made an argument on one of the shows I listened to, like, what will the market bear? I mean, the market bears, and they're talking about the guys were on the show, like, going on and on and on about the team gets mad when they sell the tickets for more money after they set their price, like on this StubHub and all these other places where ticket brokers will go and sell them for more. So the team feels like they're leaving money, you know, that they could make. And it's like, it's called economics 101. Everybody should make, but how much longer can the Disney go? How much longer can Disney just keep gouging us before we do respond?
Well, did you see the thing that Peas and Carrots found? I think it was from Lynn Testa, the
yes,
the graph.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and they had the median income, how much it's gone up over the last, what was it, 8 or 10 years, and then the drastic increase in ticket prices over the – and it's not even close. I mean, it is just, what, tripled the average – you know, increase of your average income. It's incredible. And I think what Disney's trying to do, honestly, is what they're trying to do is to price some people out, the folks that can't afford to go, and to get more people there that can spend more money. And that's what they're shooting for. So, I mean, unfortunately, and they're going to get to a point even where, as me living locally, where I'm just not going to be able to afford to go. So, I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, if they keep going up like this, you know.
No, and it's sad, and it's like, I mean, and one of our listeners actually tweeted to us about, we were there for, you know, what happened to us when everybody, and I mentioned it on the show, but remember I said I don't want to go there, and where I didn't want to go was the whole September 11th thing, everything dropped through the floor, they had no attendance, no nothing, and all the loyal guests, we stayed with them, and it built back, and you remember, like, the parks were empty there for a long time, John.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden now we're all going back, and you would think that when the parks are full and everybody's there that they wouldn't have to raise them. Like, I mean, they just raise them to raise them, and it's like we're nuts enough to just keep spending it, and I'm going to go next year, you're going to keep going, you're going to renew yours, but I don't know when the band's finally going to break, you know, the dam's finally going to break, and we just can't do it no more.
I do believe there's going to become and especially for, I mean, me living locally, it's going to take a while, and owning DVC specifically, because I mean, I'm locked in. I mean, really, yeah. Because where else am I going to go on vacation? I'm not going to trade those points in for something else. So, but I mean, for folks that are coming from across the country and you're every year, if this is your once a year vacation or once every 2 year vacation, and but every year it's what, 20% more than it was the year before. I mean, at some point it has to become unrealistic for you to come. So,
well, like I said, my buddy John on the job site, I mean, on the nutty job site that I've been on lately, it's driving me crazy. But my buddy John, his wife, they all love it. He goes with his wife, his grandkids, blah, blah, blah. And he works with me, and he does okay. We do fine, but it's getting to the point where, you know, you go with a family. He goes down with 6-7 people at a time. Now, could you imagine that, John? I mean, John, could you imagine if it was not the three is, but, you know, you got your wife, your son, your daughter, your grandson, you're going down 6-7 people. I mean, that really is when it really starts to sting and hurt you. I mean, to us it hurts, but could you imagine buying 6 tickets, John, for 10 days or a week?
No, at this point, that wouldn't even cross my mind. I think we'd be going to Six Flags or something. So.
I mean, you're talking for a family of 6, you know, it's 6 kids, 6 adults and 1 child. You're talking, what, $2,400 for park tickets?
Yeah, just for the park tickets.
I mean, think about that. I mean, and I know we go on and on saying, well, if you go to New York City, you see a show, you do this, you do that. But it's getting to the point where you can't even say it. It's getting to the point where you really can't say that anymore. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and not to mention all your stuff that you complain about, the nickel and diming that's
yes.
going on top of those ticket prices, because now not only do you have the ticket increases every year, you've got, well, do you want to add on PhotoPass? Do you want to add on a special shuttle service that you can get from park to park? Do you want to add on Park Hopper? Do you want to add on water parks? Do you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and that's the point I'm making. Like, they're raising these ticket prices every freaking year. They're raising room rates. They're raising this rate. They're raising that rate. Don't you think that, okay, you're charging me this damn much for a park ticket that – I should have transportation to go from one, especially after you're charging me for the park hopper, that I shouldn't have express transportation to go to another park?
You would think, wouldn't you?
Okay, but no, we're going to get you for – and I know all of our friends and our listeners, it's only $24 and nobody's making you do it. But, yeah, it's $24 for 2 of you. So 48, you know, $50, that's fine. But nobody's thinking of the family of 4 and 6. And again, nobody's saying they're making you do it, but you're doing it if you want to go from park to park. A lot of people's going to end up just spending it because they can. And they shouldn't have to, is the point. Just because people can't afford it don't mean you have to bang them over the head for it. How much more profits do you need to make? And that's what drives me insane. It's like, it's just being a glutton is what my point is with the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, and it doesn't seem to stop. It's as long as the economy's good and people are coming, I don't see I mean, we can gripe about it and complain about it, but do you think they're going to stop? Not until the economy goes in the crapper again or people start stop coming. And I mean, me and you can complain about it, Doug, but until you don't go or I don't renew my annual passes, they're not going to change.
But it's one of those things where you shouldn't have to, it shouldn't have to be this way. It's like we love it so much, and they know we're addicted to it. It's like it's sad. It's like why can't they just like why can't enough be enough? Is my point. It's like I don't understand where, and then they're, like you said, with the nickel and dime and adding all this stuff, I just don't understand how they just sit there and. Because most people, and I'm not saying this to be not that most people aren't good, but most people, all the friends, some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life is in this Disney community. Can you disagree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, there's people that would bend over backwards and yeah, absolutely. Some of the friendliest folks I've ever met.
I mean, the whole Disney community is like the nicest people you'll ever meet. Everybody that falls in – most people that fall in love with Disney are good people. Am I wrong?
Exactly, right? I mean, I don't see a whole bunch of Ted Bundys going, I like to vacation at Disney World. So.
No, but you get what I'm saying? It's like you're taking advantage of a good group of people that have found something they really love. So, I mean, how many more billions do you need to make? That's why I get on my high horse. That's why I scream and yell. I get your DVC, so you're stuck with it. I mean, we'd both be better off not crying about it because it would make us both feel better. You know, just trying to ignore it and look out the other side of the, you know, look the other way, if you know what I'm saying. And yeah. And I get special rates because of being a TA. That, you know, I mean, it's hurting me because they're going up, but it's still not to the point where it's hurting when I look at some of my guests, what the people I book their trips are paying, it breaks my heart. That's why I get so aggravated. When I tell them the room is $1,800 and the tickets are $2,400, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yes, I do.
That's where it breaks my heart, John. And that's why I go nuts, and that's why I get so aggravated. It's like, stop it, please. Enough is enough already. But it's never going to stop because we're going to continue to go because we're all nuts.
You got it. I mean, they have us. And, you know, we got that little taste, and you keep going back and seeing the pusher. So
yeah, it's just sad. It really is. But anyway, I'll stop complaining, yelling, and screaming. And I'll start again on Sunday's show. But I had fun, John. We'll do this again. I enjoy this first thing you think of because it makes you think of different things.
It does. And real quick before we go, nothing to do with Disney, actually. I just wanted to mention that I was on Highway 19 in Clearwater today, and I was going past.
You see my Phillies?
I did. I was driving right past it, and I looked down, and the pitchers and catchers had reported, I think, on the 13th. I looked it up, and they were all out there in the outfield stretching out, and it was a gorgeous day here today, about mid-60s. So wow. I had the blue sky, the just pure green of the outfield. And I don't even like baseball, and this gave me chills. So yeah. The pure blue sky, the green outfield, and then the red uniforms of the Phillies out there stretching out and getting ready for some pitching and catching practice. And it was, I mean, man, it was a beautiful scene. And if I wouldn't have gone – if I wasn't going 55 miles per hour, I would have gotten a picture. But, but yeah, it was really cool. So.
You thought it'd be too late, John.
I don't know what I could have done for a picture. But
so you're not a baseball fan at all?
I used to be a huge Braves fan until the strike of, I think it was, what, 93? And I never really got into baseball after that. So, yeah, when I was in high school – before Florida ever got any football, baseball teams, I was a big Atlanta Braves fan. But the strike ruined it, and I never really got back into it after that. So.
Well, why don't you start following the Phillies now again? And so then this way, when I move down there, we can go to Phillies games together in Clearwater.
Hey, maybe I will. Maybe I will. I mean, I see them more than just about anybody else. This time of year, I'm going to run into them, the Yankees, the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles than just about anybody else, because that's where all my routes take me by all their spring trainings. So,
yeah, well, I say you start. You could be like Bob, just become a free agent, pick a new team every year.
So he says free agent, I say bandwagon jumper, buddy. You know, I mean, hey.
Yeah, become a free agent, buddy, and you can start. We can have something in common. Become a Phillies fan.
I actually went to probably a total of 30 Phillies games in 1 year because when
being
I was stationed
in the Navy Yard.
Yep, when we were in the Navy Yard, they let us in for a dollar, and so we'd go down to South Street and hit a happy hour for a couple hours, take the subway back to that South Street station or to that station right there, and get off and watch a Phillies game for a buck. So
was, just for that reason alone, you should be a lifetime Phillies fan.
Oh, the memories. No, the memories.
Well, become a Phillies fan now again.
Yeah, maybe I will. Just for you, Doug. You and all my Navy buddies. So.
Well, they're on the right track back, let me tell you. They're doing a good job. But anyway, if you want to follow if you want to go check out our website, go over to It's All in WDW and follow Bob and everything that the articles that he writes are very good. He just did an article on the restaurants over at Coronado Springs, and there's more coming to Coronado Springs if you read the articles that are out there, and we will cover all that on Sunday. If you want to follow John, you can follow him at The Weekly Pint or at Beer Solo. You can also find our good buddy Den, which we miss. We will have him back on in March, which we're looking forward to that. You can follow Dennis over at – what's Dennis's name again? Is it what's it Oak Manor?
I think it is. I think it's Oak Manor.
Yeah, you can follow Dennis at Oak Manor on Twitter. You can find me at good old Grumpy6767. And you can follow us all at WDW Main Street. And you can find us all on Facebook at WDW Main Street. And please, guys, go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We got a few, and we really, really appreciate it. If you leave us one, we'll read it on the air. And we will talk to all of you real soon.
Hey, guys, have a good night and a good week.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Pleased to meet you. Fine, how are you? Nice seeing you. How you come on? How to do? Pretty good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. How do you do? Not a pleasant meeting. How do you do? Same way you meet. How do you do? With everyone peeping. Pretty good show is your born. What goes up the show to come down? A penny lost is a penny found. How do you do? And you howdy back. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. How do you do?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good to see you.
How you come on?
Howdy!
Pretty good show is your mom. Stop jumping around.
You're running out of breath. Why don't you sit back and calm yourself?
You can carry on now if you must.
Wonder what we like, cause that suits us.
How do you do? Not a pleasant meeting. Pretty good show is your born. Pretty good show is your born. I'm looking for a little more adventure. He's heading for a little bit of fun now. I'm hoping for a little more excitement. Time to be moving along. It's time to be moving along.
The weather is good, the fishing is fine. Now what do you do with all of your time?
Oh, a zig and a zag, a twos and a froze. That's what you asked me, and that's what you know. Time to be moving along. Time to be moving along.
He's looking for a little more adventure.
I'm heading for a little bit of fun now.
He's hoping for a little more excitement.
Time to be moving along. It's time to be moving along. Time to be moving along. He's looking for a little more adventure, but he's heading for a little bit of trouble. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Hey, Brer Rabbit, better mend your ways. You're heading for trouble one of these days. Warning this rabbit, I'm afraid it's a waste. He's making his way to the laughing place. He's looking for a little more adventure, but he's heading for a little bit of trouble. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Careful, Brer Rabbit, better mend your ways. You're heading for trouble one of these days. Warning this rabbit, I'm afraid it's a waste. He's making his way to the laughing place. He's heading for a little bit of danger. Time to be turning around. Time to be turning around.
Laughing place, to go. Some of you are laughing. Home sweet home is the lesson today. My, oh my, born and bred in the bypass, and I'm here to stay. I'm through with moving on now. It's where I'm born and bred in. The bypass is where I'm heading. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. I'm back in my home now, and I'm sure gonna stay.
I told you, Br'er Rabbit, there ain't no place fine if you run from trouble.
Home sweet home is the lesson today.
Don't you worry, Mr. Bluebird. I learned my lesson.
The briar patch is where you were born, and the briar patch is where you're gonna stay.
One of these days, I gotta thank Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear for flinging me back home to my briar patch.
Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Br'er Fox and Br'er Bear are gonna get it today. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Bad hungry gators get in his way. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth, it's actual. Everything is satisfactory. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Welcoming back Br'er Rabbit today. We always knew that he went away. He's had enough of moving on now. It's where he's born and bred in. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. Wonderful.